Boston Mayor Marty Walsh's new plan for large investments calls for at least 10% of capital spending to go to preparing for the effects of climate change. In the fall, the mayor told business leaders about plans to redevelop Moakley Park in South Boston.
And the first people a resilient Moakley Park will protect are the thousands of residents of the Ann Lynch, Old Colony, and Mary Ellen McCormick public housing developments, as well as their neighbors. These developments in this park represents Boston's historic commitment to our collective well-being.
But as WBUR's Simone Rios reports, some are concerned that investment in climate adaptation could exacerbate inequality.
Moakley Park expands across 60 acres of the South Boston waterfront. It's a short walk from JFK Station in Dorchester, surrounded by the ocean on one side and a neighborhood that includes 2,000 units of public housing on the other. The park is prone to stormwater flooding, and it's now seen as a flood pathway that could inundate low-lying areas well beyond South Boston. Prophet Parker McWhorter teaches athletics at a local charter school that uses the Moakley Park fields.
It's atrocious. Your cleats just, like, I had students here when we were playing soccer where their cleats came off in the mud. Completely tied, just stuck in the mud.
Instead of trying to fight stormwater, the park's new design seeks to manage it. That will be done with a series of berms, structural elevations, and underground basins designed to contain floods and keep them from spilling over beyond the park. The redesign also updates athletic facilities, and with the closing of a major waterfront boulevard, seeks to transform the way Bostonians interact with the ocean. The money and timeline details of the Moakley redesign are yet to come. But at a recent community meeting, Chris Reed with the design firm Stas overseeing the project says it will be a monument to climate resilience.
This one's unique, though, because it has the chance to be one of the first large-scale urban parks that deliberately takes on resiliency. And what's unique about Boston is, unlike New York, which suffered damage from Sandy first and then started resilience planning, Boston's been ahead of the storm.
City officials talk about the Moakley Park redevelopment as being fundamentally about equity. The most immediate beneficiaries are the people who live in the public housing developments surrounding the park. But some climate advocates say there are signs that the push toward resilience could make life harder for poor residents of the city. Researchers at the Autonomous University of Barcelona say so-called green gentrification is already underway in Boston. With previously unpublished data shared with WBUR, the researchers show a correlation between new green spaces and neighborhoods becoming wealthier, whiter, and more educated. On the East Boston waterfront, an endless flow of cranes and dump trucks paves the way for luxury housing. Some of the properties are being built to weather not only the storms of today, but the hurricanes expected by the end of the century. But some East Boston residents question who the push for climate resilience is for, people who already live there or those who have yet to come.
What happens behind Clippership Wharf and Port Saridis Pier? The water comes in, they're good, right, so, to some extent. What happens to the older housing stock and developments behind that?
Away from the construction, near her home in the public housing behind all the development, is activist Magdalena Ayed. She heads a nonprofit called the Harbor Keepers, whose members keep watch over the city's resiliency efforts in East Boston.
We have elderly populations, people that are immobile. You have people with language barriers, people who are extremely low fixed incomes. They don't have the resources to bounce back.
Most of the new housing in East Boston is unlikely to be affordable to the typical family in the neighborhood, where the median household income is $52,000. For Latino families, it's $43,000. And for black families, just $24,000. And according to the real estate firm Zillow, the typical rent in the neighborhood is $2,600 a month, about the price of a studio at one of the new waterfront developments. Ayed says that's out of reach for her and most of her neighbors. The city estimates that in 50 years, nearly half of East Boston could see flooding during a major storm. That's why 2 years ago, the city launched Climate Ready East Boston, the first neighborhood in the citywide initiative. A consultant studied vulnerabilities and drew up a resiliency plan, which so far has resulted in a deployable flood barrier, according to city data. But Boston's resilience work is only beginning, and Ayed sees a way to right the ship. She says a coming adaptation boom could be the chance to make Boston a more equal city, but only, she says, if it's done right.
You remember the Etch-a-Sketch, right? You could just erase it all and start all over. This is the opportunity of the century. Why don't we use this opportunity of building resiliency to kind of level the playing field? And that's what we're trying to do.
But how does one gauge whether that's being achieved? Atiyah Martin, Boston's first and former chief resilience officer, says there's a framework for measuring equity in city planning.
Whether or not communities feel that they were actually included in the process and they're actually benefiting, right? That's the ultimate metric. But if people fundamentally don't feel like their voice was heard, don't feel like they benefited financially, did we actually build resilience in the community?
Martin says the first test is whether the city engages neighbors in deciding how to spend money in their neighborhoods. The second test is outcomes.
Who built up their wealth off of the investments made? And so if the communities who are usually left out are still left out, that's an equity failure.
Across the street from Moakley Park, a woman rolls a grocery cart past the Mary Ellen McCormick housing development. It's the place where Richard Elwood has lived for the last decade. After 70 years in the city, he's skeptical of whether the Moakley redesign will ultimately benefit people like him.
Look what they did to South Boston. It's all condos.
So 20 years from now, do you think that that you'll still have a place in a place like this?
Me? I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. Unless they go back to rent control to accommodate people that can't afford it.
Another Southie resident who takes issue with aspects of the Moakley redesign is Kamari Parker. He grew up playing basketball on the courts right next to the McCormick projects. And under the plan, those courts will be moved across the park, closer to the water, to a part of the neighborhood where he says he doesn't see many black people like him.
It removes a whole bunch of memories that was very sacred to people and that were very, like, important to people, like, for me specifically.
My name is Chris Cook, and I'm the Chief of Environment, Energy, and Open Space for the City of Boston.
So if somebody has a bone to pick about Climate Ready Boston, the buck stops with you?
100%.
Cook says he's aware of the danger that new parks and public gardens could make it harder for existing residents to afford to stay in their neighborhoods. He says the city will continue to try to reach residents they haven't yet, and that the Moakley plan is still subject to change. Cook says the city's push to build more affordable housing will help ensure that displacement doesn't happen under his watch.
You can't lose sight of the people who are going to be affected and how they're going to be affected.
How will you quantify equitability 5-10 years from now?
Moakley is surrounded by really diverse, vibrant neighborhoods. Are those neighborhoods as diverse and as vibrant 5-10 years ago after this plan is implemented? That would be success.
Mayor Marty Walsh says the resilience push is coming at the same time as historic city investments in affordable housing. But some resilience experts say the city has to go deeper and couple climate resilience directly with policies to stop people from getting pushed out. If not, the parks of the future may be of little benefit to the residents of today. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simone Rios.